chapter 1. And tonight, the title that seemed to drop into my spirit for this message tonight is, Don't Pray Iffy Prayers. Don't pray iffy prayers. Well, what's an iffy prayer? That's, well, God can do it if he wants to. And so what we're going to be talking about really is praying in accordance with the will of God, and that's going to lead on into praying in faith, which have something to do with each other. But I want you to look at this scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 1. I start at the 9th verse, and we're reading about Hannah. So Hannah rose up. Now, we read in the verses leading up to this, and we find out that Hannah had never been able to have any children. Elkanah had two wives, and the other one had children, but Hannah didn't have any. And verse 9 says, So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now, Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And so we see she's praying, and the priest, Eli the priest, is sitting there watching her pray, and he sees her lips moving, but she's not saying anything. So he thinks she's drunk. Well, really, she's praying, but the Bible tells us she's praying in her heart. But she wasn't vocally praying out loud. But Eli said to her, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And notice the next verse, and she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Now, just because she prayed a prayer, and the man of God said to her, God's going to answer that prayer. And we see in verse 18, we see faith show up. She was in bitterness of soul before that. She was weeping and crying. But somehow or another, she got assurance that that prayer was answered. And when she did, faith came. She knew that God had heard her prayer. Now, Eli hadn't heard her prayer, but God heard her prayer. And, you know, some people think if you don't pray out loud, God can't hear you. Well, here's evidence he can. But now there's a time to pray out loud. Prayer changes things. Prayer doesn't change God, but it changes things. Now, silent prayer can change you. And silent prayer, and we see an example of it right here. Well, silent prayer changed Hannah. She got over into faith. And silent prayer won't change God, but silent prayer, if we pray right, can release God's ability to do some things in our life, because that's how we get him to do things, is through prayer. Wasn't it John Wesley that said, it seems that God can do nothing upon the earth unless somebody first pray and ask him to do it? But see, there's a time we need to pray out loud. You need to pray out loud because sometimes you need to hear it. God can hear you praying in your heart, but I tell you, faith comes by you hearing. And sometimes I find out I need to hear myself pray. And I'll tell you something else. Sometimes the devil needs to hear me pray. And whether you believe it or not, the devil can't read your mind. He is not all-knowing. He's not omniscient. Sometimes he knows what you're thinking, because he'll put a thought in your mind and watch how you react to it. He'll know what you're thinking. But most of the time, he don't have to do that, because most of the time, you'll tell him what's on your mind. Sometimes it's a good idea to keep quiet about a lot of things and let the devil wonder what you're thinking. And then another reason we need to pray out loud sometimes, I believe, is because Psalm 103 says that when we give voice to the Word of God, that the angels go to work for us. And so there's times we need to pray out loud, but I want you to see also there's times we can pray in our heart. And God hears it. He hears you whether you're talking loud or not. And let's look in John chapter 11. John's Gospel, chapter 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Chapter 11. And verse 33. Now, John chapter 11 is about when Lazarus died, and Jesus has gone to where his sisters are, and he's there by the tomb. And that's where I'm going to begin to read. In verse 33, it says, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping," talking about one of the sisters, "and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." Now, these folks was acting just like Hannah. They was crying and moaning and carrying on, and well, because somebody had died. And verse 34, and Jesus said, "Where have you laid him?" Now, I want you to notice in verse 33, it says, Jesus groaned, where? In the spirit. That's down here on the inward man. This groan he groaned was a prayer. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that when we don't know how to pray as we ought, the Holy Ghost makes intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. And Jesus groaned in his spirit. And verse 34, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. And then said to Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" And Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. So we find him in verse 38 groaning again in himself. And verse 39, Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. And Jesus saith to her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God? And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And we know what the results were. But notice that he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Well, when did the Father hear him? Well, up there in verse 33, when he groaned in the Spirit. In verse 38, when he groaned within himself. God already heard that prayer. He said, but I'm going to stand here and pray out loud to help these people that are standing around. Let them get a little faith from what I pray. I minister in the area of faith. Now, I like it when God works through the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And he does sometimes. But primarily, I have to minister through faith. I preach you the Word, and if you'll believe it, and we'll do what the Word of God. The Bible says, elders of the church anoint the sick with oil and pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith to save the sick, and the Lord raise him up. Well, if I'm going to pray that over you, I want you to hear it. Because you need to get in faith with me, right? And so Jesus said, Father, I know you already heard me. I prayed a while ago, and you heard it. Now, you know one thing. And so then Jesus, because he knew that the Father heard him, he was bold enough to say, Lazarus, come forth, with a loud voice. He didn't say, Lazarus, so nobody would hear him in case it didn't work. Lazarus. No, he said it where everybody could hear him. Why? Because there's a boldness came, because he knew, Father, I know that you heard me. All right? And so, how did Jesus know the Father heard him? He knew it by faith. That's the only way he knew. He knew it by faith. I doubt if the Father said, I heard you. He don't ever tell me that. Because in order to please God, you have to do it by faith, don't you? He's not going to confirm everything for you. Now, he'll give you little indications to keep you encouraged as you're going along, keep your patience working, if you'll pay attention. And so he knew that the Father heard him by faith. How did he know then that the prayer would be answered? Because he knew the Father. He knew the Father heard him by faith, and he knew if the Father heard me, he's going to answer the prayer because I know my Father. Now see, if I was sitting at the house and sitting out in the room where my lazy boy is, and that's not because I'm a lazy boy, it's comfortable. And if I said to my wife, who is just about coming up in next month, will have been married to me for 40 years, I know her. And if I said, if she's in there in the kitchen somewhere, and I said, and I don't order her around. Now, I run errands for her just as much as she does for me. But if I said to her, hey, Jane, if you come out here in a minute, would you bring me a glass of tea? If the tea don't ever show up, I know what the problem is. She didn't hear me. Because I know her. I know if she heard me, I'd get the tea. You say, well, it might not be her will to bring you no tea. No, I know her. It's her will to please me, right? And the only assurance I need that I'm going to get the tea is, did she hear me? You with me? That's all the assurance I need is, did she hear me? Jesus said, Father, I know that you heard me. Then he said, Lazarus, come forth. He had all the boldness in the world that the Father was going to answer the prayer because he knew the Father heard him. And once he knew the Father heard him, he knew the Father, and so he knew the Father, and he knew the Father's will was life. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life, and that you might, he said, this is why I came. He also said, the Bible tells us that this is the reason that Jesus came, was that he might destroy the works of the devil. He said, the thief has come to steal and to kill and to destroy, didn't he? I'm come that you might have life. It wasn't time for Lazarus to die yet. He was too young to die. See, God didn't take him. He got sick and the devil got the upper hand. But Jesus said, and see, if God had taken him, Jesus wouldn't have walked in there and reversed what God had done. If it was God's will to have Lazarus in heaven or wherever he went, Jesus would have just left him there. But he knew the Father, and he knew that his prayer got heard. Well, you know, one reason he knew his prayer got heard is because the Bible tells. And incidentally, see, that's the thing, is getting in a position where we get our prayers heard. Because there's some things that tell us why prayers are not heard. And when I talked about hindrances to answered prayer, I covered some of them. One of them says that that sin hinders God from hearing our prayers. That if we're in sin, the Bible says that God closes his ears and doesn't hear our prayers, but he says that his ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. All right? You said, oh, Lord, that lets me out. I said a bad word 5 years ago. Listen, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. If you're in faith, you're righteous in God's sight. If you're living by faith, you're in right standing with God. That's the only way you can be there. And so God's ears are open to your prayers if you're a faith person. And Jesus, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for me that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. And this was before the sin of the world had been put on Jesus. He was righteousness. And he knew when I pray, God hears. And so he knew that his prayer would be answered. Now I want you to go to 1 John. 1 John, remember, Jesus knew that the Father heard him. He knew it by faith. He knew he was, and he knew the Father, and so he knew the prayer would be answered. And in 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, that's way back there in the back of your Bible, not too far before you get to the book of Revelation. Just go Revelation back up to Jude, back up to 3 John, 2 John, 1 John chapter 5. And verse 13 says, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I tell you, I believe on that name. That's why I didn't do it intentionally a while ago. It's just something about it. When I get to praying a prayer over sick folks and stuff like we did that baby, I can't help but say, get kind of strong when I say, in the name of Jesus. I believe in the authority and the power in that name. And he said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you believe on the name of the Son of God. I'll tell you what, there are some things that we can know. Now, some folks think you can't know anything about God. Well, you never know what God's going to do. No, there's some things we can know. And then around in verse 14, and it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. See, confidence. We have a confidence that we can know that he hears us. Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you, I know you already heard me. We can have confidence when we pray that God hears us. And this is the confidence, verse 14, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. You believe that? If you pray any prayer in accordance with the will of God, he can hear you. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Let me read that again. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If we know what? That he hears us. If we know that he hears us, what do we have to know in order to get our prayers answered? We have to know that he hears us. That's all you need to know, that he hears you. That's all I need to know that the T's on the way is no Jane heard me. That's all in the world I need to know. I don't have to wonder if she's in a good mood that day. I don't have to wonder if she's thinking about something else. I don't have to wonder if she's mad at me. She'd still bring me the tea. She don't ever get mad at me. I'm too sweet. All right? But if I know that she heard me, I know the tea's on the way. All in the world I have to do when I pray something that is according to the will of God, if I have the assurance that he heard me when I pray, then I know that I got the answer. Now, you see, that's simpler than it sounds, because I'll tell you something. Whenever you pray, you are not always conscious of God hearing your prayer. Sometimes you're talking to the ceiling. Sometimes you're praying and talking to the crowd standing around instead of talking to God. And when you're doing that, you're not focused on the idea that I am communicating with the God of the universe, El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, and he is listening to me, and he is hearing what I'm saying, and he is fixing to answer it for me. Now, that's what you have to know. When you pray, you have to know that God hears you. If you know that he hears you, you got confidence that you got the answer. This is the confidence we have, all right? And so we're talking about, but it says here, if you pray anything in accordance with God's will. So another thing we've got to get to is, how do we know it's God's will? This is what causes a lot of people to stumble is, well, I don't know if it's God's will or not. For example, when it comes to praying for healing, when it comes to praying for financial blessing, when it comes to praying for deliverance, you know, well, I don't know if God wants to do it or not. Well, I'm going to tell you how to know. Now, the only thing you have to figure out is, that, you know, a will, how many here have made out a last will and testament yourself? Well, the rest of you ought to. But how do you do it? I mean, is it something you just think about? Or you get a lawyer, that's good. You put it on paper, right? You write it down. It's not legal unless you write it down. I mean, you know, if something happened to one of y'all in here. You know, Brother Irvin, I know he's got a lot of money. Something happened to him, and then I'd run out to the courthouse and say, hey, he told me that I was his heir, I get it all. They'd say, no, I'm sorry, produce a document. I don't have anything, but he told me. Well, that won't do. I got to have a document. I have got something in writing. Well, you know what? That's why God, it was so interested in binding himself to his will that he put it all in writing. And people have prayed with their life for getting this thing in writing. The ones that did it in the original language did. And then even the ones that had, as you've seen, when you go through my Sunday school class, how we got our English Bible, the people that gave their lives just to get it in your language so you could read it. People paid with their lives because the devil doesn't want this to get out. He don't want you to know that it's all in writing so you can claim the contract, right? And so what it amounts to is God's word is his will. Now in this book I have an Old Testament and a New Testament. Look up that word testament in a dictionary and it says it's a written account. I asked you a while ago how many made out a last will and testament. A testament is a written account of a person's wishes as to the disposition of their property. That's what the dictionary says. It's a written account of a person's wishes as to the disposition of their property. So in the Old Testament, we have a written account of God's wishes as to the disposition of his property before the cross, before Jesus went to the cross, and God left stuff to his servants. And they had a way of claiming it. Well, then he made out a new will and testament, and it didn't do away with the old one, it just ratified it and fulfilled it. But then what he did was he took his servants and made us his children. And we have a new covenant, a new will that's based on new and better promises, right? And so God's word is his will. When you pray the word of God, you're praying the will of God. And so what you do is, if you want to pray in the will of God, if you want to pray a prayer that you can have that confidence that God is hearing me, and because he's hearing me, I'm going to get what I'm praying for, then what you need to do is see what the Word says and pray. I'm not just talking about necessarily quoting the Bible, that's good, but you're praying in accordance with the will. And see, that's exactly what I did a while ago. I didn't do it because I'm teaching on this tonight. I did that because that's how I pray. I said, somebody's baby down here sick. Said, let's anoint them. All right, I said, Father, I thank you for James chapter 5, verse 14, which says, if there's sick among you, call for the elders of the church, and they'll anoint the sick with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. Pray the prayer of faith for them. What does the prayer of faith mean? Believe that we believe God's listening and believe he's going to honor his word. God is not a man that he should lie. He's the one that said, you anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. Pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. Now, I hope a while ago when I was praying, I was keeping myself conscious that I was talking to the Father. And all y'all were agreeing with me, so I hope you were sitting out there in your seat agreeing that we were talking to the Father, and then that we had the confidence. This is the confidence we have, right? That we ask something according to the will of God, we know he hears us. How many believe it's God's will to heal babies? If I was God, I'd heal them. And God's more loving than I am. And so what am I talking about praying the Word? That's exactly what I'm talking about, just taking the promises of God. And the Father told us to put him in remembrance of his Word. Now, that doesn't mean he's forgot it. He's getting Alzheimer's or something. It just means that he needs us to put a demand on that word. He needs us to present it to him so that he can act on it. All right? So when we talk about, the best way in the world to pray the will of God is pray the word of God. If you're praying for, if sickness is trying to come against you, what you ought to be praying is, Father, I thank you that Jesus himself bore my griefs and sorrows and chastisement of my pieces upon him, and by his stripes I'm healed. Right? And then furthermore, Father, I thank you that whatever's trying to come against me, Lord, I thank you for the promise of your word that says, no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. Lord, I thank you for the promise of your word that says, a thousand shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it'll not come near me. Lord, according to that scripture, if everybody in town gets sick, I ain't going to take it because you're going to protect me from it. I thank you, Father, that you give your angels charge over us, that no evil shall befall us and no plague will come nigh our dwelling. See, I'm talking about praying. You're praying the will of God when you're doing that. Now listen, when you say amen, you're praying that prayer of protection over your children. They've gone out. Listen, I got one. I got one that left today going to the beach on a motorcycle. You know what a motorcycle is, don't you? That's North Carolina for motorcycle. And, well, me and his mother and I, we just prayed a prayer. You know, and you know what I prayed? I prayed about the Lord giving his angels charge over all of her children, protecting them. No evil shall befall us. No plague come nigh our dwelling. And now, you know, personally, I think a person needs to do a little self-examination and check out their thought processes if they're riding those things anyway. But I'm still going to pray the protection of God around them when they're into things. I mean, it's not a sin. I haven't seen where it's a sin to ride a motorcycle. And but when you do that, see, then don't turn around and say, don't pray that prayer about God's going to give his angels charge over them and say, well, you know, this and this and this will probably happen, and I know I read in the paper and I saw on television about all this. Listen, just forget all that stuff. You just prayed a prayer in accordance with the will of God, and the confidence you have is that God heard you. And if he heard you, then you know you have the petition that you asked for, right? And so then you're like Hannah, who went up here, didn't have no children. She's crying and in bitterness of soul and moaning and crying and carrying on before the altar. And then the man of God said to her, what's wrong with you? You drunk? No, Lord, I'm just got all these problems and I'm praying. He said, God's going to answer your prayer. Glory to God. Here she went. And all of a sudden, all that crying is gone. She had been doing without eating. All of a sudden, she's ready to eat. And her countenance is bright again. Why? Only one thing can do that, faith. Now, if you don't act like that, you're not in faith. See, you can come for prayer, and if you leave the altar and turn right around, and moaning and groaning and carrying on and whining, you didn't come down here and get a hold of any faith. Because faith will demonstrate itself, see? Faith will demonstrate itself in how you look, how you act, how you talk, and how you feel. When faith comes, I tell you something happens to you. And you know the same with Jesus. He was groaning in his spirit. Now he wasn't out of faith. He knew what was going on. Every time you see in that chapter about Jesus groaning in the spirit, it was when all these people around him were in unbelief. And I think he was saying, oh Lord. You know? And you know, there was a number of times Jesus went to minister, just like when Jairus' daughter was dead, and he had folks in there weeping and crying and mourning, and he ran them all out of the room before he'd pray. Get this unbelief out of here. Get me some folks in here that can agree with me, that we can pray in faith, right? So we're talking about how to know the will of God. When you pray the Word, you pray in His will. You see what the Word says, you spread it out before God, put Him in remembrance of His Word, and say, Father, it says right here. You know? And so, Lord, I'm asking it to be done according to Your will, according to Your Word, according to Your will, same thing. And another thing we need to bear in mind, that Jesus is the Word, and therefore Jesus is the will of God. And so if you want to see the Father's will, just look at the life of Jesus in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look at the life of Jesus. You've seen the will of the Father. How many times did you ever know of Jesus ever making anybody sick? Not once. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Word, the Bible tells us the Word in Him was life. It says the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. So Jesus is the Word. And so when you're doing things in accordance with the way Jesus did them, you're doing the will of God. You're praying the will of God. And we can look at the actions of Jesus. We can see God's will. Now look in John's Gospel, back to John's Gospel in chapter 15. John chapter 15. And some people's thinking, you know, because I know this is stuff that I hadn't preached this in a while, but you know these scriptures. You're familiar with these scriptures. People say, oh, I know all this. I've heard all this. I know it, but the reason I'm preaching it is because I'm trying to get you to do it. Could somebody say, oh, me? Okay, I know she didn't say that very loud, but John 15, I'm trying to get you to do it consistently. John's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 7, and it says, Jesus said, red ink. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. What you will. See, folks is worried about, well, I don't know if it's God's will. Well, he says here, under certain conditions, you can pray your will and have the assurance that it'll be answered because it's your will. to that place. Abide in me and my words abide in you. That word abide means to live there. Right? In other words, if you're living in Jesus and His word is living in you, well, where does His word live when it's in you? In your heart? Now, doesn't the Bible say what's in your heart in abundance will come out of your mouth? If you are really abiding in Jesus and got His word abiding in you, when you pray, when you open your mouth and pray, your will, you know what's going to come out of your mouth? The will of God. Because if you get yourself saturated in the Word of God, your will has to line up with God's will. And, you know, there's been some people I pray for it. I have to pray first for me to get in line with God's will because they want me to pray for God to bless them and look after them and all this. And personally, I just assume God didn't bless them sometimes. Well, what I have to do then is crucify my old carnal flesh and get myself in that area abiding in Jesus and get His Word abiding in me. And once that happens, my will is the Father's will for them. And the same is true for me. Abide in Him. That word is interesting. That word abide, if you abide in Him and His words abide in you, that word abide, the Greek word meno, that's a verb, but the same word in the noun form appears in John chapter 14 when Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." That's that word for mansions. It means dwelling places. And so me abiding in Jesus, that's my mansion. His word abiding in me, that's the mansion abiding in me. And when I'm in His mansion and His mansion is in me, my will line up with the Father's will, and I don't have to spend 3 days on my knees trying to decide if it's God's will. If somebody comes down here and says, "I need prayer because the doctor told me I've got cancer and I'm dying," I don't have to say, "Well, come back and see me next Thursday because I'm going to go fast and pray for 3 or 4 days and find out if it's God's will to heal you or not so I can pray for you." I don't have to do that. As soon as you say cancer, God's will rises up in me and says, "Get it." Believers, lay hands on the sick. Elders of the church, anoint the sick with oil. Rebuke the devil, right? Curse this sickness. Tell it to dry up from the roots. I don't have to wait and try to find out the Father's will because I got enough word abiding in me. Now, there's folks that go to church every week that don't have that. They don't have the Word of God. Now listen, they know John 3:16. And generally they know one or two scriptures about if God can save you, He's able to keep you. But they don't know the ones about. I mean, they've heard them with their ears about believers lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. About Jesus went into the cities and the villages and He healed all that were sick among them. They've heard the scripture in Jeremiah that says He will heal your wounds and restore health to you. They've heard the scripture that says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." They've heard the scripture in Exodus that says that serve the Lord and He will bless your water and bless your bread and take sickness away from the midst of you. That's a pretty good one to pray too. You know, I pray that in every morning as I'm having my water and bread. Say, "You drink water and bread, have water and bread for breakfast?" Well, I have cereal. It's made out of bread stuff. And since I found out that dairy products don't work good for me, my doctor told me, I pour some rice milk on it, and you taste some of that stuff. It ain't no better than water, but it's pretty good. I add a little stuff to it to make it better. But anyway, I pray that. I thank the Lord that He blesses my water bread. Take sickness away from the midst of me. Amen. Well, see, I got that word abiding in me. I don't have to go seek God every morning to find out if He wants me to live well that day. I know when I got out of bed, God was on my side. And you know, the Bible says, "I shall not fear what man can do to me because the Lord is on my side." Well, Brother Jim, ain't you worried about such and so going to do this and they going to do that and this group over here is going to do this? No, I am not worried what man can do to me because the Lord is on my side. I'm not even worried about what your computer can do to me. Because the Lord is on my side. Amen. Now, Jesus said, "You abide in me." Alright? What happens is God's will becomes your will. And I'll just remind you of this scripture, you know it. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." What does that mean? Primarily, it means this: is when you get to, if your what your delight is the Lord, then He will put in your heart the desires that He wants to be there. When that happens, you will quit using all of your faith to get that car you've been believing for. Now listen, God wants to bless you with a good car. I said, quit using all your faith for that. You'll quit using all your faith for God bless me and give me one of these and give me one of those and let me do this. And all of a sudden is when you start delighting yourself in the Lord, God's going to put different desires in your heart and you're going to have a desire to go out and bless other people. But you know, the great thing is when that happens, that's when it really starts working for you, because, I mean, you can pray and claim the Scriptures and get stuff for yourself. But when you start praying and using the Scriptures to get stuff for other people, that's called giving. And then the Bible says, giving, it'll be given to you. For every one you give, you'll get one back. No, it says good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. You get over into praying that kind of prayers, that's... Think about how Jesus prayed. I said, you're abiding in Jesus, and His Word is abiding in you. You can read through all the prayers in the New Testament that Jesus prayed. There's one in John chapter 17, a couple other prayers He prayed. I can't even find Him praying for Himself. You know why? He's just living in victory. But you know what? We find Him quoting the Word of God everywhere He went. He was the Word of God. He couldn't help but quote the Word of God. Every time He opened His mouth, you know what came out? Word of God. That's what He is made out of. If you abide in Him and His words abide in you, guess what will come out of your mouth when you open your mouth? The Word of God. Now, you might not necessarily be quoting King James Bible, everything you say, but what's coming out of your mouth will be biblical truth. You know, when somebody says, well, I don't know if we're going to make it or not. I heard that they're going to be laying people off next week, so I guess they won't none of us make it. And they look at you and say, ain't that right? And you say, my God supplies all of my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. I had a thought today. I might share it with you again Sunday morning, but I'll just go ahead and tell you now since it came to my mind. But I have a note laying on my desk that coming up here pretty soon. I don't remember the exact date, but you know, once a year, all the school kids have the meet you at the flagpole day. When they go to school early and meet around the flagpole and pray. And they do it all over this nation. They'll be doing it in every school in Cabarrus County. But you know the thought that came to me today? Now, first thing you need is some kids that want to do it. Well, one thing that can help that is mom and daddy, encourage them. I didn't say make them, I said encourage them. Now, if your children are not 16 years old that want to go pray, the bus don't come to get them early so they can pray. That means you're probably going to have to arrange to get them there. You said, I can't. I have to be to work at 7 o'clock. You know what the thought that came to me today? I'm not telling any of y'all what to do. This just dropped down in my spirit. That might be a real good chance for you to call the boss and say, I'm going to have to come in an hour late Thursday because I've got to take my children to school to pray around the flagpole. And the boss says, well, that's fine, but we'll have to dock you pay an hour. And that's when you'll say, that's all right, because my God supplies all of my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm really messing with some stuff now. I'm messing with that principle about don't be conformed to the standards of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind and start thinking like the Word of God says instead of thinking like everybody in the world thinks. See, it's easy to quote, my God supplies all my needs, until you have to take a stand and lose a couple hours' pay because you're going to stand on the Word of God. It's a whole difference. That's when faith without works is dead. Let's see. I think under this new routine, let's see, we used to quit at 8:45, so now we quit about 8:15, so we'll make it. All right. I'll remind you, Isaiah 55:11. Let me just tell you about it, make you a note and look it up later. But it says, so God says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now, when you're praying the Word of God, you know you're praying the will of God. And if you're praying the will of God, you know He hears you. And if you hear, if you know he hears you, I didn't say, and if he hears you. See, I've heard people quote that most of the time. Well, this is the confidence we have. We ask anything according to his will. We know he hears us. And if he hears us, we know we have the petition. No, that's not what it says. And if you know he hears you, you'll have the petition that you ask of him. All right? Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now Psalm 107 said he sent his word to heal you and to deliver you, for one thing. And so it talks about returning God's word to him. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void. So there's something here about we have to return the word to God, for it to accomplish what he pleases and prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. Now, in the New Testament, in the Greek language, the most frequent word for prayer is prosekomai. That's prosekomai. Right in the middle of that, you'll notice, if you were listening, you heard the word echo. Prosekomai. And what that literally means, if you take it out of the Greek, is to say back to God what he has said to you. That's the word most frequently used for prayer in the Bible, is say back to God what he has said to you. I've been demonstrating that for you here tonight. He said, so shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. All right, so how does God's word get returned to him? Well, God speaks the word to us, and it gets down here in my heart. That's where God, if I'm abiding in him and his word's abiding in me, right now my heart is full of the word of God. And in fact, if it wasn't, I should have stayed home tonight and not come tried to preach. Because that's really what I need to do, is get my heart full of the Word of God. Listen, I did not know I was going to preach most of this stuff tonight. In fact, I was wondering if it's going to be any good because I didn't have much. But what I do is spend my time preparing my heart. Now, I didn't have to pray 2 hours before. I didn't have time. I told somebody, I said, every Wednesday, I plan on getting out of here and trying to get home about 3 o'clock and take a 30-minute nap before I have to come back and preach, and I never make it. I wind up working here all day. I rush home just like you do, change clothes, come back and preach. I didn't get to pray in tongues 2 hours trying to get anointed. But the good news is I was anointed when I got up this morning. Because why? Because you just spend some time in prayer all along, because you spend time in the Word of God, right? Well, the Bible says that, you know, Jesus said the Holy Ghost will call it to your remembrance when you have need of it. He told them, 12 apostles, he said, now you're going to stand before kings and authorities and dignitaries and all that. He said, when you do, and I like he said this, settle it in your mind. He said, when you do, settle it in your mind. Not to think beforehand what you're going to say, because the Holy Ghost will give you the words in the hour that you have need of them. That doesn't take away from preparation. Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So what do? You spend time in the word of God, putting it in here. When you need it, the Holy Ghost will bring it out. All right? But we're talking about returning God. So we're talking about returning God's word to him, but won't return void. God has spoken the word into my heart, and I believe into your heart. He's speaking some in there tonight. But you know, the Holy Ghost can't call anything to your remembrance that you hadn't put in your remembrance. You go to a computer and try to get some information out that nobody's ever put in there, you can't get it. But you put the word in, and when there's a need for it, it'll come out. See, that's why when the devil tries to attack me with physical sickness, I don't have to even think about it. It just jumps out of my mouth. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Right? Believers lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. See, I'm a believer and this is a hand. I don't have to wait for y'all to show up. I'll just do it myself. Then when you show up, I'll get you to help me. All right? I'm returning God's word to him. See, I'm speaking back to God. I'm speaking the word back to God. And he said when it's returned, it doesn't return void. Now, I didn't keep these on intentionally. Actually, I got a couple checks in my pocket here. Some of them are for some of my kids. I usually hold them a few days just to make sure, you know. But this one here is written on Wachovia Bank to me. Signed by somebody that has an account at Wachovia Bank. And you know what? I've been carrying this thing around in my pocket since Sunday. And I don't have no money yet. But all I have to do is walk up to the bank and say, I want to cash this. And you know what? First thing they'll look, make sure this person got something in their account. And then they'll hand me the money. And in fact, when I go to walk over your bank, they won't even check and see if this check's good since it's on their bank. Because they know if it's no good, they know I got enough to cover it. They just give me the money. Well, what am I doing? I'm returning it. And he said, it won't return. He said, when you return my word to me that I've sent down, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. When you return it, it won't come back void. I can take this same check and take my pen out of my pocket. I'm not going to do it. And write V-O-I-D. And then try taking it to the bank. Got this check. It's a perfectly good check until I wrote them words V-O-I-D void on it. And I'd take it up there and lay it down at the window and say, I'd like to cash this. And they said, that check's no good. It's void. Right? That's right, isn't it, banker? All right. God said, when you return my word to me that I spoke out of my mouth, it won't be void. In other words, what did he say? I'll pay off. I'll cash it for you. Now, a lot of people try to go to the bank, to God's bank, with something, to cash something God didn't say. They try to go up there and say, well, they go to the bank of heaven. I always use about this same example, but it's so ridiculous people understand it. They go to the bank of heaven. Say, well, bless God, the Word of God says, what things soever I desire, when I pray, believe I receive them, and I'll have them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm claiming that woman right there to be my wife. See, the problem is she's married to that other fellow that she's sitting with. And God said, or even if she's single, God's liable to say, I ain't said nothing about her being your wife. You don't want that one. You know, and you go car shopping, same principle, walk in the car lot. Oh, I love red ones. That one right there, God, that's the one I want. I'm claiming that one in Jesus' name. First thing is, you couldn't afford it if God would let you have it for half price. But that's the one you got your eyes on. I'm claiming this one in Jesus' name. Brother, come agree with me that this is my car. God's going to give me this car. And God said, No, that's got a sick motor in it. Transmission's about to fall out. You don't want that car. Oh, bless God, I'm claiming it in the name of Jesus. So what are you doing? You're trying to return a check that God didn't speak out in the first place. Faith comes when you've heard from God. Right? Faith comes when you heard from God. A lot of people listening to their own head and think they heard from God. The trouble is, when God talks to you, He uses your voice. He sounds like you anyway. And so you get to convincing yourself, well, this is what God wants me to have. There's a lot of people launch themselves out into ministries, and they're looking for God to make provision. And God said, I didn't send you, bud. I didn't ever tell you to go there. Like sometimes folks have a call of God on their life, and they sense that, and they want to do something, and they don't understand. Yeah, I got a call of God on my life, but it's not to do this, and it's not to do it now. Returning God's word. I got to quit. But we're talking about, we'll continue on here next time. But we're talking about don't pray iffy prayers. In other words, find out what the will of God is. You know that it's the will of God because you read it in the Word of God. You're returning God's Word to Him. You're praying the Word of God. Your heart's full of the Word of God. And you're abiding in the Lord and His Word's abiding in you. And what you're speaking is the will of God because it's the Word of God. And when you're doing that, you say, praise God, I know God heard me. And then you say, and I'm confident because I know when He hears me, I know my Father, and I know if He heard me, the answer is on the way. And then that old boldness will come, and you turn around to the tomb and say, Lazarus, come on out, bud. And don't care, don't worry about what the crowd thinks. Because you know God's going to stick with what He said, right? Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Father in Jesus.